welcome in Trail Blazers courtside here on Comcast Sportsnet. Here is what is coming up on the program. We get right to the courtside tip-off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. Kerry Eggers of the Portland Tribune will be live in studio. Kerry has been covering the Trail Blazers for a long time, and we'll get some of his perspective on the offseason, on the general manager search, on the head coaching search, on the draft, on what Portland should do in the free agent market. We're going to have a lot from Kerry coming up. Comcast Sportsnet's Dwight Janes, of course, who worked with Kerry for years, and he has covered sports in the Northwest for so long. He has the this one-on-one format show called Dwight Janes posting up every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock right here on Comcast Sportsnet. On the next episode of Posting Up, and it's brand new, Dwight interviews Mike Rice.
Oh.
Here is a preview of that interview.
Oh. I used to, in those days, switch foul shooters, you know, because referees didn't pay attention. You'd mm-hmm. foul on one mm-hmm. end, I'd walk down to the other end, and I'd put an 80% foul shooter on the line for a guy that shot 20%. And, you know, at first they laughed about it, and the referees, in fact, a couple of the pro guys remember that. They said, Mike, you made me look bad. That's why I never gave you a call. And coaches controlled everything then, and so I was a little goofy, tell you the truth. When I look back at it, man, what was I doing?
So anyway, that is coming up Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. It's a great show. You don't see many of the one-on-one format shows anymore, but Mike Rice will be a guest of Dwight Janes Wednesday night at 6 right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Was that a good sampling of juicy stuff?
No, the juicy stuff came when they handed me an envelope with $5,000 in it for doing that's what they pay to do on those. They're big number shows. So.
And then that should be a highly rated program.
And
when's the Antonio Harvey show coming
up? There won't be one. Was it a $5,000 bill?
I might have been.
If it was, you may not want to cash that.
Here, in fact, I'll show it to you.
He's red and he's looking for it.
Right there.
Stay tuned. Trailblazers courtside for the next hour here on Comcast Sportsnet.
Attack Ahern, scores the bucket, and he's fouled. He twisted around Ahern. Esau Hickson, gotta be careful with that ball. Hickson, oh, in transition! Hickson throws it down.
Welcome. Trailblazers Courtside is presented by Pacific Power. On for an hour tonight here on Blazers Radio Network on trailblazers.tv and on Comcast Sportsnet. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey with you here tonight. Tone, we haven't been together on the air since Thursday. Talking ball.
It's been a while, but you know, you adjust and adapt, and here we are.
And you made some bold predictions on Thursday. You said Oklahoma City would sweep Dallas. I guess it's not too bold, but you got some pushback, but here we are.
Sweep. Well, you know, I looked at Dallas, and what Dallas lost last offseason was why they lost. I mean, they don't have anybody on that roster that's tough. You replace Deshaun Stevenson, who may not be the best NBA player, but he does have mental toughness. He's got physical toughness, and you replace him with Vince Carter. You got to be kidding me. There's no chance you can there's too much toughness. Tyson Chandler and Brendan Hayward just aren't the same guy. And Dirk Nowitzki, for all his talents, lacks toughness. Not make-a-shot toughness, but grit, you know, demanding of his teammates, making them step up and perform the way they can. He doesn't have
that. Yeah, well, he's a guy that he scores, and he's not – that shouldn't be his job. They right. should have other guys like Tyson Chandler to do that.
Exactly.
And they don't, so now they expect him. That ain't going to happen.
And you know what's even worse than any of that, Mike Rice? They let him go and chased two guys that they will not get now because they didn't come close to winning the championship. Darren Williams has said, you know, it's slimmer, much slimmer possibilities that I'm going to Dallas now. And we know Dwight Howard obviously is staying in Orlando for at least another season. So, you know, all of that chasing, you win a championship and then you give up and start chasing new guys instead of holding on to what you got.
Well, and if they chase Darren Williams now, a lot of the talk has been that there's no way they're going to be able to hang on to Jason Terry. Because they can't pay him and Williams.
I know a team that wouldn't mind having a guy like Jason Terry coming off the bench.
Yeah, this one? or a guy like Darren Williams. And it is interesting because, you know, and we'll talk about this all night tonight. Kerry Eggers from the Portland Tribune will be on soon, and he'll be live in studio, and we'll talk about all this stuff, including the general manager search, and you hear some new things on that from time to time, and the head coaching search as well. And I expect that, you know, from what I'm hearing, GM search could be coming to a conclusion in the next couple of weeks.
Well, let me – so for everybody who's speculating now, I know it's been – the rumors
I just
have been
did.
Rampant.
Yeah.
I am no longer in the running.
What happened?
I just decided to take myself out, you know. Granted, Larry and
sure.
Nobody else knew I was in the running.
Right.
But
– did
know.
They ask Dick for permission to talk to you?
No. They did, and Dickie V said no.
Okay.
No, we got him locked up, so.
You know, the one interesting thing is – and we kind of start talking about this. We might as well now. But – when you talk about cap room and teams that are like Nick Batum, we know that Toronto is likely going to be the team that has the best chance at maybe getting him or throwing the most at him. The one thing this year is the amnesty clause is still there because of the lockout. So teams that aren't under the cap or really aren't free agent players can be if they decide to amnesty a high dollar guy that they have. Will that throw a monkey wrench into all of this? And are there going to be teams that we haven't heard about yet who are going to be players in the market and be competing with teams like Toronto and Portland for big time?
Here's the thing with Nicholas. If you're another team, if you're going to make your move, it has to be July 1st in order to goof up the Blazers and what they're going to do. So, you know, the Blazers would love to have it July 28th that they take care of Nicholas.
And they'd also love to have the old rule, well, your money got tied up for 10 days and not just three.
3 days. So right now, you know, it just depends on how much somebody wants Nicholas. You know, how much they want to goof up the Blazers and what they're trying to do.
And a front-loaded contract like Portland gave to Wesley Matthews would really screw up Portland.
Yes, but look at the teams. For instance, Dallas. I mentioned Dallas. They've got so many problems about making decisions. They are going to only have five guys that are going to be under contract. And they've got to decide now.
One has six.
What are we going to do with this guy, that guy? They, you know, all these teams that have money also have to make decisions on who they're going to keep. And they've got to do it July 1st. You mentioned Jason Terry. If they want him back, they have to, you know, do they think he's more valuable than a Nicholas Batum? And every team is going to have to make those decisions. Now, Toronto, they're so bad that they may jump in. They could be a team that jumps in right at July 1st and ties up some of the Blazer money immediately in that situation.
You know, now that's an interesting thing, though, Mike, because I've been pondering this as well. Just because they offer doesn't mean Nick has to sign it, right?
No, that's right.
If Nick and the Blazers have had a chance to sit down and may have some discussions, maybe figure out some direction, it could be in Nick's best interest long term to just say, no, I don't want to sign any other offer sheets. I'm going to sit on this. I'm going to let this happen the way it's supposed to. And then I'm going to help my team out, and we're going to be a better team across the board because of that.
And I agree if it's 7,000. But if someone comes up with 9,000 or 10,000 starting.
Million, you mean?
What?
I don't think he's going to play.
9,000.
Yeah. 9 million.
A minute? That would be about it.
Now, if he thinks, that's 9 million, it may not be there if I don't jump on this and make the Blazers cover it. So it just depends
on. Any agent would advise he sign the
offer. Oh, in a heartbeat.
And even his agent, who's very inexperienced.
Yeah.
And this was his first effort at extending a guy back when we heard all the talk about Nick not getting extended. And as Chad Buchanan has explained many times, Portland had not only, you know, they would have liked to have gotten the extension done and gotten the thing, but the cap hold on Nick would have been a lot higher than 5.4. It really would have eaten into Portland's cap room. And I don't think Nicholas was really explained to him that it actually was in not only his best interest, but the team's as well, to not get a deal done when they had the chance.
Yeah,
that's the other thing, people, when you talk about the cap hold, people also have to understand that the cap hold releases when you sign. So if this cap hold is $5 million and you're signing for $9 million, that's really only eating up $4 million of your cap space. It's not eating up the full $9 million the way people, you know, you hear that number and you think it's that big. It's only about half of that because the cap hold is already there. So that's already been eaten up. Now it's just about how much more is going to be eaten up.
And the other thing about Nick to remember is, and what will
you have his bird rights. So what will likely happen is, I mean, in the best case scenario, you do your other stuff. You sign your free agents, and you get all done with that, and then you get to Nick because you can go over the cap to sign him, and we know the Trailblazers will do that.
Not over the luxury, over the cap.
Over the cap. Yeah. And they'll do that if necessary to retain him. But it should be interesting, and we're going to know. Time's going to start here soon.
And I think Kerry Edgars will have
information.
Kerry Edgars will.
He'll have it all.
He will have a lot of information, and he will be coming up next. Kerry Edgars, longtime writer, guy who's crossed over now, crossed over lines. He's doing everything now. I mean, medium, you know.
Internet.
That's right. Yeah, are you on Twitter yet? All right.
Yeah.
We'll get to all of that. Kerry Edgars coming up on Trailblazers Courtside. We'll dive into a little bit of everything. You can get us on Twitter, hashtag TV Courtside, and we'll try and respond on a beautiful afternoon in Portland. And we continue on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power. Energy efficiency tips and incentives at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. All right, Kerry Edgars is joining us now at the table. Kerry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be here with the first string guys.
Tell Wheels you said that tomorrow.
Yeah, well, except for Wheels.
Of course. Wheels is off this week, but then he is back, I understand, next week. So, Kerry, should be an interesting summer. We've been talking about it for a little bit too long already because we knew that the summer was what we were looking at here with the Trailblazers. But how do you see things shaping up? And we'll get to the playoffs and the series going on now. But, you know, you hear different things in the GM search. You're not sure what to believe, what not to believe. Sometimes agents end up driving things. Things are leaked on purpose at times. We know that Larry Miller and Paul and their searches in the past have been pretty tight-lipped and have surprised people with some moves.
Yes.
I mean, the moves at the deadline, even this year, nobody had heard about the Camby and the Wallace trades before they happened. The Rich Cho hiring was a little bit of a surprise. He was in town for a couple of days before anybody knew. So do you expect it's going to be somebody that we have heard about throughout this process, or will it be a shocker?
I think it could be very well somebody we aren't thinking about. I also think that it could be the fallback candidate, Chad Buchanan. I'm sort of beginning to think a little bit more and more that they're going to go through these interviews and maybe they're not going to get the guy that they want or that they think they should have. And they feel comfortable with Chad, and I'm not saying he's going to get it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did.
Should it be considered, though, a fallback candidate, or should this search have been considered who's better than Chad?
First of all, I think they should have a GM in place. They should have had a GM in place months ago. So I think even next week is too late, but it's better than 3 weeks from now or a month. I mean, listen, the general manager should be involved in the draft. I mean, and obviously in hiring the coach. And at this point, they don't have a coach. They, you know, I'm assuming they have a draft plan with Chad and Mike Bourne and the rest of them. But I want my general manager to be tuned into all of that.
Would you wait on a guy like Morey, the assistant to Larry Bird at Indiana? He's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, you know, he's never been the guy calling the shots there, though. It's been Bird or Donnie Walsh. So I think from what I hear, he's a good, solid guy and ready to be the guy. And that's so, you know, I don't know.
They say they're going to bring back Donnie Walsh or Reggie Miller, a big name Indiana guy, and he still will be the backup guy. So
you know, and I still think, look, we all know what Jeff Petrie did here in Portland, and he's fallen on hard times in Sacramento. I think he would be an excellent choice. 64 years old, he's been through it all in Sacramento, from the great times to the really bad times lately. But he's an awfully bright guy. He knows Portland, and I don't think he'd be a bad choice either.
Has his reputation been hurt by the recent problems down there?
Maybe
mostly by ownership.
Yeah.
Or because of ownership.
And frankly, their situation is untenable right now. They don't know where they're going to be after next season. I can't imagine them being back in Sacramento with what I hear about the stadium, the arena situation. So
when you talk about you know, guys that are out there, and it's an interesting dynamic because you mentioned something that has always been on my mind. Rich Cho had never been the number one guy. And I like Rich Cho. I think he's a great person. But I don't think he was necessarily the type of guy that's a GM. Do you run the risk of going that route again, a guy who hasn't proven, who hasn't had to make that tough decision that a GM has to make? Do you run the risk of repeating the same thing over again?
Well, maybe you do, but there's been a lot of guys that have been in a first-time situation. Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford in San Antonio, that comes to mind. I mean, they have to start somewhere, and I'm not saying that experience doesn't make a difference. It certainly does, but there might be somebody out there. Travis, is it Slinky, the young guy from Golden State is very well thought of. A name like that might make sense. I don't know.
Or Mike Malone, as far as the coaching goes.
Mike Malone is the hot
prospect in coaching.
Absolutely.
I know Mike Malone, and I know he knows basketball, and I see Charlotte's going to, you know, anybody that takes that Charlotte job has to be a first-time guy, but he'd be an excellent.
He would be, and another name that comes to mind is Monty Williams. I mean, Monty was here and has done been a tough situation in New Orleans, but he might be certainly familiar with Portland, and Portland's familiar with him.
Yeah, and obviously I can't substantiate anything, but I have heard that there are chances that he may look to opt out of his contract because of the same scenario. Doesn't know ownership. Ownership doesn't know him. So he may become one of those guys who just frees himself up, and if ownership agrees, he could be available.
That's what I'm hearing too.
Indiana again, not just what we were talking about with David Morway, but Brian Shaw is a guy who was in L.A. Everybody thought he was in line to succeed Phil Jackson. They end up going to Mike Brown. Is he a guy that maybe should get consideration?
I hadn't thought of that name. Didn't he play one game with the Trailblazers? I believe he did.
I don't know, but I know he hit a bank shot and killed out.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want him here. I'm going on the record.
I don't know Brian. I certainly know of him, and he's certainly a possibility.
But Elston Turner.
Oh, I love Elston Turner. I mean, what a quality. I mean, if you talk
I'm
about
just, these aren't names that are out there. I'm just thinking of guys who we haven't thought of because that's what we're kind of talking about.
Elston's been looked over for several jobs, passed by for, you know, when he's applied for several jobs. Maybe it's his time.
Well, we'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside. Again, you can send us your comments. We'll try and get to some of them on Twitter, hashtag TB Courtside. Kerry Eggers, Portland Tribune here. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey. Back with more right after this. Welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey, and Kerry Eggers in studio from the Portland Tribune. Kerry, we were talking a little bit in our first segment about free agency, and of course we'll be talking a lot about it coming up. You know, you talk about the teams that are under the cap, and now that Dallas has been eliminated, a lot of the talk about what they're going to do, because for the first time really in a long time for Mark Cuban, they are going to have cap room.
Probably ever, really.
I think so, too. Toronto is going to be a team that we talk, and we'll talk about the Batum stuff, but when you talk about guys that Portland will be after and people who will be competing with Portland, maybe chasing the same kind of guys, the point guard chase, and there are some out there. It's not terribly deep in the free agent market. But when you look at a team like Dallas, Deron Williams, when he was in Dallas as a young guy, everybody thought he's going to go to Texas, and he said he didn't want to stay near home, so he went to Illinois. And now some people are thinking perhaps he's going to do the same thing. He doesn't want to stay in Dallas. But if he does decide to go to Dallas, now they're only going to have, what, six guys under contract. And if they do get deep under the cap, they're going to have to do it without Jason Terry. So do you think Deron Williams ends up going to Dallas? Will he go to Brooklyn with the Nets? Or will he choose somewhere else like Portland, which we've heard is not, you know, not essentially dead by any means, and he will certainly still consider it. And his agent's saying all the right things right now, but where do you think he'll go?
Well, Portland will have the cap room that could probably take his salary, but I'd be really surprised if Deron Williams decides to go to Portland. So Tone and I were talking during the break, and you know, the Nets and the Mavericks both would be well under the cap. Mavericks probably would have $20 million to work with. That could start him, you know, and he could have a five years and what, $115 million, something like that. So there's and then you decide now who is going to have the better team around him. New Jersey has virtually no one. They've got to re-sign Brooke Lopez and Chris Humphries. Gerald Wallace will probably opt out. So does he decide he wants to stay there? Can they attract Dwight Howard in the summer? That's a possibility. So there's all sorts of variables. There's balls being thrown up, and who knows where he's going to end.
The other X factor is, and we mentioned this in our opening segment, the amnesty clause is still out there for some teams. So teams that aren't necessarily under the cap now could get there.
That's absolutely right. In fact, Dallas with what's their center's name?
Brendan Haywood.
They're going to use that on him, as I understand.
So all of a sudden, teams could get, if they're not under the cap, get under the cap, and if they're already under, it could get deeper if they decide to use the one-time amnesty, because that's the one X factor during this free agent market that isn't normally there.
That's exactly.
And
right.
You have to look at Cuban. I would think he'd do anything to get Darren Williams. The way they threw everybody aside on that championship team and said, you know, we'll bring in Lamar Odom, we'll bring in a couple of guys, and this should do just enough to – and, of course, they all fell on their face. But now he's got to do something, and I would think he would – he's going to go after Darren Williams like no other player he's ever gone after.
Jason Kidd has also said he'd be happy to be the backup. He could re-sign under bird rights, and I believe they could do that with Jason Terry too, right?
Yeah, they'll have his bird rights.
But once
They have to, renounce his rights to get far enough under to sign Darren.
That's true, but there's under the new CBA, you can immediately sign renounced players. You don't have that 90-day waiting period, so they could sign him.
But I'm saying they wouldn't have his bird rights. And you know, you talk about Jason Terry, and everybody talks about where the Blazers are. That's a name that you have to look at. If
Seattle guy,
Seattle guy, but not just that. He's already been used to coming in off the bench. And how many times did we play the Dallas Mavericks and think, oh, man, this guy is about to kill us? Every time he shoots, think he's going in.
I agree with that. I love his game. But we did that the same thing with another guy from Seattle last year.
Different type of guy, though. Very different type of guy.
They both are great talkers. They both have to score. They either one plays defense. I'm looking at twins.
Personality-wise, very different guys. I know them both very well. Very different from the aspects of Jason Terry is a, you know, and nothing against Jamal Crawford. I like Jamal, but Jason Terry works at a different pace than Jamal Crawford. He has a different type of motor, plays the game a different way. But the point I'm making, though,
when we were chasing him coming from Atlanta, I didn't hear all that stuff about he was he was different.
Was 9 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. He was sixth man of the year.
No, I'm talking about 9 years ago. I thought you were talking about Jason Terry.
No,
Jason Terry is the guy I'm talking about. Jamal Crawford, that's water under the bridge now. I'm moving on to the next guy. But you also, because you have to look at, no matter who you sign with Portland, you can't do it with five guys. You've got to have 7, 8, and 9 guys in order to have a chance to win, and that's what the Blazers got to do.
That's fine, but no one's going after him immediately.
No.
They're going after a point guard.
Absolutely. No, I understand
you know,
that. But
once they get a point guard and a rebounder, now.
Well, good luck with
He doesn't even have to be a center. Be a rebounder. These teams that are in the playoffs, right? McGee, what's McGee do? He blocks shots. He's a physical presence. He's a nutcase, but he's keeping Denver afloat.
You know, I had a –
and the other guy from Morehead State.
My blog, I know, right? Blog.
What?
Something I do now. Yeah, on a weekly basis, I blog.
Weekly?
Yeah, every
– I'll believe that one.
I got three up in the last 2 weeks, man. What are you talking about?
Really?
And not – but – that's what I talked about today, the center position.
Don't take offense that I didn't know that.
I know. I understand. It's all good. Everybody talks about Dwight Howard, and they talk about Andrew Bynum. To me, the best centers, the centers that help their teams win the best, are guys like Kendrick Perkins, guys like Tyson Chandler. Dwight Howard is a great center, but he thinks he can carry a team, can't do it. Same thing with Andrew Bynum. And you look at JaVale McGee. The Blazers need that type of center.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just patrol the paint.
Yeah.
Bump people when they – be what Joe Prisbilla was about 7 years ago. And that's exactly what you
what
need.
What they need and
Omer
a point guard. Get those two. Now you can look at Jamal Crawford
exactly.
or somebody else if you
Jason
got enough
Terry.
Money. But do that. First,
and you can
and I'm
sign,
sure they
you,
are.
You can sign a center like that for not a ton of money, and you can get a point guard that's adequate for the same.
The problem is McGee's restricted too, right? And so is Brooke Lopez, and so is Roy Hibbert. Three guys that I'd be interested in signing. Chris Kaman is really the one guy that's not, but you might have to pay him more than you
it's
want.
A couple of guys that we have thrown out there before, but there's I think there are three names to keep your eye on. Omer Asik is one of them. In Chicago, I think he would be available and it'd be that kind of guy you're talking about. Al Horford is another guy who I think could be on the move and could be pliable from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I think Joakim Noah is another guy who
I've heard a lot about Joakim Noah that he's really
Noah restricted or what's this?
No, he's already signed. He's got a long. He's got
you're
4 years left on his deal.
Make a move, make it.
Well, I'm just based on the way they have used him, the way that he fell out of. The grace of Thibodeau during last year's playoffs, wouldn't play him in the fourth quarter. I don't think Thibodeau's ever been that in love with him. I think he's a guy you could get if the right.
But could you just eat his contract, or would you?
I'm talking about deals that you would use something. Your draft picks to try and get.
Yeah, because Portland has very little.
Yeah.
Player-wise to offer.
But you potentially are going to have two lottery picks. And I think if they can get, you know, the hard part is going to be and one of the picks they could trade anytime, the other pick they'd have to trade on draft day only. That's when that clock resets on draft day. So you won't see them both traded before draft day. But on draft day, you could see the other one go. That's when you'll likely see a deal happen. But, Kerry, we know the owner of the Trailblazers, Paul Allen, loves the NBA draft. Mm. He likes the draft workouts. He loves getting excited about watching and educating himself on mock drafts and everything else. Are they going to be able to talk him into trading both picks, or is that not going to be possible?
That's a great question, because both Larry Miller and Chad Buchanan have maintained all along. Listen.
They're for sale.
Yeah, it's not like it was in 2006 when we were building from the ground up with LaMarcus and Brandon. We feel like we've got some nucleus in place here. We want to add to that with veterans. And you're right.
They have to talk Paul Allen into, we need a point guard and a strong rebounder. And this is the best way to do it. So if Chad wants to keep that job, he's got to convince, he's got a plan to get a point guard, to get a rebounder, and then go from there. If he can convince, they'll trade the draft picks, but you've got to have it right there in black and white. This is what we're going to do.
Complicating it is it's a very strong draft, which is probably an interest.
That's the thing I don't like. It's such a strong draft. You know, the kid from Connecticut, is it Andre Drummond?
Yes.
He could be exactly what you need. If you got the fourth pick in the draft, he could be sitting there.
My son said,
so tough.
Stay away from him. He's known him for 10 years. Robinson and Kid Gilchrist. He said, I've been with those guys for the last 7 years in AAU. They'll tear your heart out to win a game.
Robinson, the kid from Kansas.
He'll be the number three pick, though, and probably above where they're.
And Gilchrist probably number two or number three.
Yeah. The only thing I like Gilchrist. The only thing I worry about with him is he a two or is he a three or is he a guy you throw on the court and say go win me games and he does that.
I'll tell you what, my son said this guy is a heart of a lion.
That's
he'll
what I like.
Tear your heart out. He said I've seen him in pickup games go after people that he said is
Tony Allen.
Yeah,
Tony Allen.
That's what he.
I love
he's
that
a
guy.
More talented Tony Allen.
Oh,
that's what he said
about a guy. Yeah, because Tony Allen to me he exemplifies a winner. I don't care what it takes. If you're beating me, I might just get down on my knee and bite you on the
head. I like that it took him a couple of teams to find the right role,
right.
And once it did, then he ended up being the final piece in a pretty good Memphis.
Kind of like a Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, exactly.
The same
how many, seven teams, six teams
quite
before he got to get to the spot? Or 7 years.
That shows you how many bad coaches and GMs there are in basketball. It took that
exactly
for Chauncey
right.
Billups. You could see it from day one. This guy's
is it
winner.
That or though, or is it the situation? I mean, that's
a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Yeah, but the situation can be corrected
that's
if
true.
You've got the right guy running the show.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, continue this talk, and look at some of the playoff series going on right now. Kerry Eggers from the Portland Tribune here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Oh, one of the beautiful days in the Northwest, certainly today. High 70s outside, supposed to be nice all week. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey, Kerry Eggers from the Portland Tribune in the house. Kerry, what is your Twitter handle?
At Kerry Eggers.
Easy.
Wow.
That's almost as easy as at Mike Rice 6.
Yeah, but you threw the number in there.
Well, how about the one Antonio Harvey? At one, because there's only one Antonio Harvey.
Mm. There's five of me.
Thank goodness for that.
Five previous.
I don't know who they are.
Whereas your son is Coach Mike Christ.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
He took that before you had a chance.
He doesn't tweet much. I'm real disappointed.
I follow him, and he never tweets.
No, he just.
He's
all right,
coaching. We don't have time for that.
Kerry, we were talking about, you know, when you think about Portland's situation, you think about point guards. Let me throw you a couple of names and just, you know, and these aren't. We threw out Deron Williams already, but let me give you some others, and there are more than this, but Goran Dragic.
I mean.
Love him.
He's terrific. Yeah, and he's young. And
he's ready for the keys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Or
how much now?
Well, that's the issue.
How much will you give him?
And there are going to be some teams that are obviously after some free agent point guards. And again, the list is not deep, but Goran Dragic, Kyle Lowry, he could be available because Houston's going to have to part with one of them. And everybody assumes it's going to be Dragic, but Lowry, as tough as he is, there are some things that make teams a little iffy on whether or not they want him. Kirk Heinrich, and then Steve Nash. If you don't find your guy, your future guy this year, and if you are convinced that Steve Nash has 3 years of quality ball left,
which is what he said he wants to play.
Yeah, and you know he takes care of his body like maybe nobody else in the NBA. He plays a style of ball that is unlike a Derrick Rose.
But the question is,
has violent moves to the rim.
How much are you going to have to overpay Steve Nash to leave Phoenix? Because his family's there. He likes Phoenix.
He doesn't have a family anymore. He's a single guy. I just wanted to point that out.
He has one. He just isn't cohabitating.
Right. That's what I mean. So right. He may want to get away from them.
I think it's all going to be about where Steve Nash can win. I mean, he's going to go to the team that I don't know if money's going to be a big issue with him. He'll make plenty of money. So I don't know if Portland's going to be the place he's going to want to go to, but do I go for him? Absolutely. And I'd give him $12 million somewhere in that vicinity.
Is that right?
He's making $11 million this year. Absolutely.
Oof.
I think that's the only way he'll leave
exactly.
To a team that doesn't win.
That's right.
Like,
or a team that he really wants to go to.
Right.
But doesn't that bind you up?
Yes.
And see, it's not worth it to me. It's not worth it to be bound up by a point guard that's not going to win me a championship. If I thought I had a championship window and he was there, $12 million.
But look what he did with the supporting cast in Phoenix this year.
They didn't win a championship.
Well, but look what he had, and he got them almost into the playoffs.
Right, almost.
Yeah. With that group.
Now, if Lowry, you can get Lowry for $7 million. Wouldn't that be a better –
Same thing with Goran Dragic.
Yeah. Dragic.
But if they have Aldridge, Batum, assuming they keep Batum, and Wesley Matthews and Nash, and they're missing a big man, but that's not a bad group.
Right.
Yeah.
Still a second round.
They've got to have a big rebounder. This team can't survive. And J.J. Hickson is a nice coming off the bench guy.
Right.
But he's – don't put him out there to start – you need one of those tough rebounders, and everyone else plays better.
I agree with Mike. I think if you're going to spend your money, if you're going to be prudent spending your money, you're better off going with someone who's not going to cost you 12, a lot less than a Steve Nash. If you can get Goran for 7, if you can get Kyle Lowry in a trade for 7, or if you have to go backwards and go to Andre Miller for 5, but it gives you so much money because the reality is the window isn't open yet.
And by the way, they have to take care of J.J. Hickson in their cap room.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's going to take probably –
they don't have his bird rights.
Somewhere in there.
And that was the blessing and the curse with him playing so much and being the focal point, it drove his price up.
Yes.
I mean, A1 was you wanted to see what you had. Then once you saw what you had and you liked it, then all of a sudden he was your focal point in those final 10, 15 games. And I think his stock is really, a lot higher than it was before.
So what do you think somebody will offer him? Do you think it'll be more than the mid-level?
Yeah.
Yes. 7, 7.5.
Wow. Yeah, and that'll be tough.
That's a big decision then.
And yeah, right. That's it for $7 million.
And he's not a traditional big, tough rebounder. I think he rebounded better in Portland than he had before.
Definitely.
Any time in his life.
So many decisions. But now, help me out because I do have some confusion about the new CBA. Can you sign and trade or no sign and trade in the new CBA? Or has it even kicked in yet? I know some rules won't kick in for another year, another summer. So where do
you think you can sign and trade under the previous rules right now.
It's the same as it was, I believe.
That's what I'm saying. So a guy like that, a guy like J.J. Hickson, and there's a team who's extremely interested, you can add another year. But give me a piece I really need, a rebounding center. You're going to take my guy cool. You'll give you another $5 or $6 million, and you come back with a guy that you have on your roster.
And that gets us back to, you know, getting to a summer where you have two potential lottery picks. We don't know yet. The lottery hasn't been here yet. But if you have two lottery picks and you are under the cap, that doesn't happen by accident. And, Kerry, you made the comment, and I know what you meant earlier, that Portland needs to have a GM in place. And the way I've argued this search going on right now this summer, and I mentioned it earlier, it should be about who's better than Chad Buchanan. And if you don't land on somebody who is markedly better than Chad, why not remove the interim tag and make him your GM? Because the Hickson move, the move we've been talking about, pretty good move to acquire the trade exception in the Houston deal to be able to go and get Hickson. That was pretty heady. And then to get yourself and make the bold moves at the trade deadline – and move money off the books. And Gerald Wallace, of course, there was the threat that he could opt in, and that costed your cap room. And then to remove Camby as well and to get yourself in this position, they've made some pretty nice moves, and they certainly have a blueprint in place. So do you give – and I know you like Chad. How much credit do you give him as far as being a guy who is savvy enough? And, you know, he took ownership and said, okay, this season didn't go as well, and it's on me for that. Brandon Roy losing him on training camp Eve, it's obviously brutal for anybody to have to go into. He tried to go and sign Jamal Crawford to kind of make up for that. That was tough. Nobody saw that coming.
And really the worst one was Felton when they could have kept Andre Miller, but in hindsight, it's easy to see. I thought it was a good move at the time too.
So you being a guy who's covered the team a long time and knowing a lot about them, would you be comfortable with removing the interim tag from Chad?
Well, I think it depends on who else is available.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they're going through this process of interviews. And the people that they've interviewed so far, I mean, I love Steve Kerr, but I'm not sure his track record is much better than Chad's.
Might be worse.
So, you know, again, there's a couple of names that really intrigue me if you don't get them. And I think what that's what they're doing.
You know, Mike, it's funny. I said late in the season, I stopped calling Chad Buchanan, the acting general manager. And the reason I did it is I played for the Clippers, and Elgin Baylor acted like a general manager. Chad Buchanan actually did general manager type stuff.
Right.
He wasn't acting. He was actually getting it done. And to me, that's the difference. The same thing with, you know, everybody said, you know, Caleb Canales, interim head coach. And I would just go back to, if you ask a coach, the first thing he'll tell you, we're hired to be fired. Every coach is interim. There is no permanency in being a head coach. So why play with the names? Just call him the head coach. Call him the general manager. Let him go about doing his job. That doesn't mean he's going to be that forever, because I don't think there's ever been a forever general manager.
Well, when
we come back, Kerry, I want to ask you a little bit about Caleb and about the head coaching search. We touched on it earlier, but I want to get into it more next on Trailblazers Courtside on Comcast Sportsnet, the Blazers Radio Network, and trailblazers.com.
One for one.
Rice is dunking the ball.
That break the record.
Oh, nice, Kerry. Kerry Eggers, the Portland Tribune, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. Always coming back, shooting a little bit of hoops. Kerry, on exit interview day, which is always an interesting day in the NBA, especially when you don't make the playoffs, I don't know if I've ever heard a team so unanimously endorse a head coach. And players don't hire the coaches for a reason. But what did you take from a lot of the Blazers coming out so strongly in support of Caleb Canales being the head coach next year?
Well, Mike, what are they supposed to say?
Yeah.
I don't really think
But a lot of guys are asked that, and they sidestep it. I haven't heard it that strong.
Yeah, but Nate got fired because of players, all right? So these players already have won. When you ask them, what do you think of the second – they're not going to say, hey, the guy is.
I think they all like and respect Caleb.
The question was asked, who would you like to see as head coach next year? It wasn't, what did you think of the job that Caleb did?
Well, they're not on a search committee.
Well, that's how I started this.
You did start it that way.
Mike, I think a couple of the guys genuinely would love to have Caleb. They all respect him, but, you know, cooler minds must prevail here.
I'm not suggesting. I'm just saying, what do you make of the players doing?
Well, I mean, I kind of expected it, let's put it that way, because he has worked personally with every one of those guys, and they all respect him for his work ethic.
Different question then. New head coach hire. Would you, if you were coming in as a new head coach, would you look at this roster and say, you know what, Caleb is the kind of guy I need who can help me transition? I don't know any of these guys. He knows them very well. They know him. Can I get him on my team?
Or would a new coach be threatened by that?
Well, if you are, then you need some help.
And remember,
you know what I mean? I mean, you've got the job.
There's only going to be about five guys left to know.
Well, but still.
That's
but,
true
but,
too.
but, but, If you got Caleb as a go-between, I think it helps.
Yeah, and they'll keep him. I mean, Larry Miller made that clear. They want to keep Chad Buchanan in some role, probably the assistant GM or the director of
scouting. Yeah, he's got a contract.
Yeah, and then Caleb, they've got an option on his contract. He'll be back. And you got five assistant coaches. I don't think a coach should be threatened by Caleb.
Not at all. And Caleb is Caleb. I mean, he's the kind of guy if you gave him the job, he wouldn't be running behind and telling on you. He'd be supporting you as strong as anybody on the staff.
But if you get a strong enough coach, you know, in order to bring a strong coach here, you've got to make sure he knows he's in charge of the program. Because that's the talk out nationally is the GM or the coach won't have complete control over this program. It's Seattle, it's this. So you've got to make sure if you're bringing in the man you want to run this organization, GM and coach, they have to know they're running the program.
So do you?
And if you tell them, you're the guy, you're going to run the program, but you got to take Canales, you got to take this kid, you got to do that. See, right away,
then you change the wording. I mean, what you say is, just give him a shot. Give him a look. Well, and if you don't want him, it's on you. But give him a listen, see what he has to say. But I can tell you this, if they hire a coach that's been in the NBA already, it would be hard-pressed to find any negative words on Caleb.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this is a unique situation, Tone. This guy's very young. His personality is such that he fits in with everybody. Yeah. I can see sometimes where it would be a problem, Mike, but in this case, I don't think
it would. And I would think the guy would, but you've got to let him do that.
Absolutely.
You can't tell him you got to take Caleb. If you did that, then that would start off on the wrong foot. But I think if he looked at it, Caleb is a guy that he would want. Yeah.
One other guy that is out there that he'd been talked about a little bit, there's been talk that he's getting back into it. We don't know where. Jerry Sloan. Do you see Jerry Sloan coaching next year? Not necessarily here. Do you see him back in the
NBA? No, but wouldn't that be fun? I mean, I have so much respect for that guy. I would love to see him back.
It's so quiet, and we haven't heard anything about it to the point where that's when I start thinking,
Well, the guy's bored. I saw that in Salt Lake.
And he would probably bring Malone and Stockton back as his assistant coach.
Those two guys. You know what's funny, though? Jerry Sloan is Nate McMillan 1.0. I mean, Nate was very similar.
That was his – the guy he admired the most.
Except Sloan did it. Jerry Sloan would rather walk away than have somebody tell him what to do.
Right.
I mean, that says a lot about the guy's personality. He may not be able to make it here. No. He may not be able to deal
with it. He certainly wouldn't be able to chase Darren Williams and Jerry Sloan.
even think about that.
All right, we'll take a break, our final break here on Trailblazers Courtside. Come back and wrap things up right after this. And welcome back. Our final segment of Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Bear back with Mike Rice, Antonio Harvey, and Kerry Eggers from the Portland Tribune. Kerry, timeline. When do you see all of this happening? Obviously, the GM will happen first, and then you can wait a while if you want to. I mean, you can wait till Summer League. That's when Nate was hired a few years ago. Do you see it being that way, and do you see a GM being hired or Chad Buchanan's acting tag removed and him being named as the permanent anytime in the next few weeks?
Boy, if you put a gun to my head, I don't know which way I'd go. I really don't. I mean, I think it's got to happen in the next couple of weeks, doesn't it? I mean, but it hasn't happened to this point, so maybe they're going to drag it on. And if that's the case, again, I think Chad Buchanan's chances of getting that interim tag removed increase.
And some of the people that are out there that in the media have been linked to the job, be it an agent floating the name out there to increase the value of his client, whatever else, we've only heard of a couple of actual interviews. So wouldn't that lead you to believe that as far as guys who are under contract right now in the NBA, they haven't interviewed a ton of guys the way that some people have put it and talked about how there have been rejections. And But haven't there only been two that I can think of?
Noah Crome and now David Norway. Right.
And then you can include Steve Kerr in that if you want to. But and so that would be three. But it doesn't sound like they've, I don't know, ask for permission to speak to a lot of people. So that would lead you to believe maybe they have a guy in mind or they think the chances of Chad getting it maybe are higher than some people think.
Maybe it's somebody that's still working with a club that's still in the playoffs. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, officially, I said this earlier on air, and I just want you to know, okay, I have officially taken myself out of the
running. See, he was the guy I was thinking of.
Right, I know. You said it'd be a shocker. Maybe that would
and
be a shocker.
No, it can't happen now because it's done. I've already decided I'm not going to do it. And now, granted that nobody else knew I was in the running, but still, it doesn't really matter.
Right. And I may throw a hat.
Throw your hat in the ring.
You're running for
so close to
the
mayor
race.
I was. You know,
if you don't win mayor,
I had the mayor right.
If you can't win mayor, be GM, right?
Yeah.
If only they ran the GM search on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
But Mike, or on the online.
To get back to your question, it's very difficult to get a read on when they're going to make these decisions. But we're all getting anxious for them to do it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, and maybe their belief with what the blueprint that Chad and his staff have started to design and have been working on all year. Feeling like it's well enough in motion to where, I mean, I know it doesn't make people comfortable, but perhaps that's part of the thinking and why it hasn't happened yet. Kerry, thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Should be a fun summer.
Should be.
We'll continue to follow you on Portland Tribune and at Kerry Eggers on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Telling Mike Rice, I'm Mike Barrett. We'll talk to you next week on Trailblazers Courtside. Thanks, everybody.